All right, I want to greet all of you in Jesus' precious name this morning. Blessing to be here with you all again. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come before you this morning again, and we thank you, Lord, for your goodness and your mercy to us. We just ask your blessing on this time together. Father, we pray for Sarah Brubaker, Lord, we just ask you have mercy upon her, Father, and touch her, Lord. God, we just ask your comfort for her, Lord. Again, we just thank you for all that you do for us. Lord, we just ask that you would fill us with your Spirit this morning as we open your words, that you would give us wisdom, Father. Again, we just thank you for all that you do in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Again, blessing to be here with you all this morning. Appreciated the boys' lesson this morning, the topic of wisdom. Some of the things that were said. We get a lot of people that, you know, whenever you hear about the Bible, whenever people talk about it, they talk about how confusing it is and how hard to understand it is. I think it was Mark Twain one time, someone asked him about it, and he said that it wasn't the things he didn't understand about the Bible that bothered him, it was the things he did understand. And I think just relating to wisdom, that if we will just take the things that we do understand one step at a time, just take the things that we do understand and apply them, then the next thing will be given to us. I think a lot of times people try to take it as a whole and take it as theology or try to figure it all out and learn and understand all things. But the way God teaches us as Christians, it's just the way he teaches, as we teach a baby growing up. You learn the one thing, and then you build on that. And I think a lot of the problem is with knowledge, is we get so much knowledge piled up, and we never take the first steps of just applying it. And so we miss the wisdom that we could be learning by just learning the very fundamentals from the very beginning. It's just, like I said, it's just like trying to teach a child. We've talked about it often, that perfection for a child is just learning one letter a day. Maybe learning to color the A of the apple, you know. And you learn that, and they've done perfect for that day. And so often we look at the Bible as some big college education, years and years of study, and try to figure it all out, and we miss the A. So that's, I appreciate those thoughts. And then the one, I think it was Roger, just the first, if any of you lack wisdom, ask. That's one of the things God says, he giveth freely to all men and upbraideth not. It is absolutely free wisdom if we'll just ask of God. But there with that asking is taking it and applying it to our lives. You know, sometimes the lesson he has us to learn is not an easy one. But asking the wisdom, and he'll give you the lesson you need to learn so you can learn those things. And listening to your elders. You know, that's one thing that there's people that have been through a lot of things. And young men sometimes just don't, they think they kind of get it all figured out in their own head and their own mind, and their little world is often pretty small sometimes, but they think they've got it conquered. But just being patient and listening, that is something that there's people that have been through it, and look for those people. I've told before that whenever I was first starting to follow the Lord, I just looked for a mentor. I just looked for someone and went and just sat at people's feet and for, you know, just for a long time, just trying to listen, trying to learn as much as I could. And so it's, you have an opportunity right in front of you. Just one of the other boys, one of the boys mentioned just listening to the old men, the older men. Just taking the time, you know, it's pretty fun to go hang out with your buddies out in the parking lot or wherever you're at and just congregate together, but the problem is you're not going to learn much there. You might think you're really getting some information, but you're not really learning much. And so, you know, if you just apply yourself to just standing around listening to the older men, you know. There's just things that'll be dropped here and there, and they might just try to teach you something, and you'll learn a lot more there than you will just hanging out in the parking lot or hanging out with your buddies. It's time for that. That's all right. But if you're really wanting wisdom, to apply wisdom, stay where more of it's at. You know, reading the Bible. There's a place for family devotions. There's a place for all those things, but it's your responsibility to know what the Bible says. You know how to read. Read it. And don't read it with just trying to pack your head full of knowledge. Read it. You know, sometimes you can just read it. You don't have to just try to memorize little facts. Just read it. One thing, I don't know, for first 25 years of me following the Lord, I read 10 chapters a day in the Bible. Every day. Never missed, hardly. I don't do that as much as I did then, but I just read the Bible. And I didn't trip over not understanding something. A lot of times if I saw something that I didn't understand, I just kind of put it on the back burner and kept reading. And as you go through the Bible, you'll just be reading along and, well, there it is. Just an explanation of something that you were confused about. But you got to get it in, you got to read it. And like I said, you don't have to read it to understand it. Just read it. It's a lot better time spent than about any other thing else you can do. And I'm sure there's plenty of time wasted on things that are less valuable. So just encourage you a little bit. Appreciate those thoughts that were given. And just want to encourage you, you have a lot of resources. So let's open our Bible this morning. There was a question this morning about this verse or this passage, and I just want to just read through it. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1. That's where we'll begin. This is one of those things, whenever I didn't grow up around this, I knew hardly anything about it, and it was a while coming to the conclusion on it, because there again, we studied it, we read it, looked at it, and just asked for wisdom in all of these things. And so, first, the Christian order is the way it's headed, and chapter 11, verse 1, says, "Be imitators of me, just as I also am of Christ." Be an imitator of me, as I also am of Christ. First of all, if we just want to look at that, that is nothing that was just for the first century Christians, nor is it something that was just for the 7th or 8th or 9th or 10th or 11th, 12th century Christians. This is for Christians of all time. Be an imitator of Christ. Just as Paul was an imitator of Christ, be an imitator of Christ. That's one of the things that's probably missing more than anything at all today in Christianity, is just being an imitator of Christ. And this is just goes with all the rest of it. Verse 2, it says, "Now I praise you because you remember me in everything, and you hold firmly to the traditions, just as I delivered them to you." Here Paul was, a little bit, not much time had passed in Christianity, but he was still praising them for keeping the traditions. And whenever we talk about traditions, we've had a lot of bad examples of traditions where people just do things and they just do it because someone told them to, or that's the way it's always been done. And that's not what he's talking about here. He's talking about maintaining these things that are Christian, maintaining these things that have to do with being an imitator of Christ. That's what he's praising them for. And so if it was, one of our goals and one of our mottos, I guess, is trying to have a church today just like it was in the early church. Just maintaining the traditions, maintaining the glorious gift that was passed down to the first church, the early church, just keeping those principles that they had, relearning those principles, applying those principles. And it's just such a blessing that we can go back and we can see what they did and what they taught. And so traditions, while they can turn ugly, they can turn lifeless, they can be empty, but they're still a truth in them. They're still right, and we can still have the right attitude about them. We can still maintain those things that were so glorious in the early church that has dwindled, has in one sense, sometimes it just became just dead tradition, and in the other sense, it just kind of falls away because there's death in it. But the truth is still in it. And that's what our goal is. And that's where wisdom, learning the wisdom to take the scriptures, ask God for wisdom, and apply them to our lives. So whenever we're looking at these things, we can find the truth and not have to be afraid because, somebody else has been doing this for 200 years and it's just a dead, dry relic of a religion. But it's still there, even though some people may not be doing it properly or maybe abusing it. But I want you to understand that Christ is the head of every man, and the man is the head of a woman, and God is the head of Christ. These principles, this foundational teaching here, that Christ is the head of every man, and the man is the head of a woman, and God is the head of Christ. We see the things that are going on today around us, where men are claiming to be women and joining in their sports and just overwhelming their competition because they're a man claiming to be a woman. While this has come upon us rapidly, what caused this has been a long time in the making. It's been a long time growing. Whenever we lose the principles that God is the head of Christ, and Christ is the head of man, and man is the head of a woman, those simple things, when you start clouding them and graying them over. 100 years ago, that everybody's equal, men and women are equal. We're seeing the fruit of it right now. For hundreds of years, thousands of years, man was a man and woman was a woman. But whenever people started talking about them being all equal, that started clouding the issue. And now we don't know for sure. And if you say you do, you're just looked upon like you're plumb crazy. Whenever reality is they're plumb crazy for thinking anything other than a man being a man and a woman being a woman. That's the way God made it. And whenever we start messing with that, we get in big trouble. And it says, every man who has something on his head while praying or prophesying disgraces his head. Where, you know, whenever this is not talking about wearing a hat because the sun's too bright or going to burn your head. And this is not talking about, you know, having a hat on your head because it's raining outside and you're trying to keep your head dry. It's not talking about weather garb here. It's got a religious significance. You know, if you look at the different religions, the priest always has a big hat on his head, big glorious hat when he's praying. Even the Jewish religion, they always wear the hat on their head. There's a reason for that. It's attacking at Christ being the head. That's the heart of it. You know, like I said, whenever a man prays with something on his head in a religious sense, he's dishonoring Christ. And I think that's what a lot of this is all about. It disgraces his head. And then it says, but every woman who has her head uncovered while praying or prophesying disgraces her head, for she is one and the same as the woman whose head is shaved. Here again, this is not talking about just something for the weather. It's talking about a distinguishment between the man and the woman. The man is to have his head clear, and it doesn't say the head is shaved of the man. If the, it says when he have his head, whenever he has his, he prays or prophesies with his head covered, he's talking about something actual, not his hair. And so a lot of people confuse, well, he's talking about the woman having long hair later on, but that's not what it's about. It's something over that hair. And this is, like I said, it's not, this is, the heart of this is man and woman in their proper places and in their proper order, just like Christ is the head and submits himself to God, and he's the head of man. It says, for if a woman does not cover her head, let her also have her hair cut off. But if it is a disgrace, if it is disgraceful for a woman to have her hair cut off or her head shaved, let her cover her head. This here again is just, you know, it used to be that the woman had long hair. And that's just the way it was. That was a distinguishment between the man and the woman. And now women have their hair all bobbed off and decorated up or even shaved. Well, the Bible says that's a disgrace. And, you know, even though society may change and may not think it disgraceful, God does. God still does. He didn't change his opinion. Man, look how they've changed their opinions. They think it's disgraceful if you call a woman or a man. But God hasn't changed. It says, for a man ought not to have his head covered, since he is the image and glory of God. But the woman is the glory of the man. Here we have the order. A man is his head is clear. I mean, it's not covered. He's free to have a relationship with God. And the woman in the home, whenever you have two heads, you have two bosses, you know, and they're not in order. One of them's teaching one thing and one's teaching another. It's confusion. What this is doing is showing that man is the head of the home and the woman has submitted herself to the husband. And, you know, we think, well, that's disgraceful. That's discriminatory. But remember in the first part of it, Jesus submitted himself to the Father. He humbled himself. He took the position of being submitted to the Father. There's nothing disgraceful in being what God made us to be. There's nothing shameful in being what God made us to be. And there's nothing shameful in outwardly showing that I'm in the place God wants me to be. You know, a lot of times society, it's a little difficult for the woman to go out and cover her head because what everybody else will think. And they feel ashamed about it. But there's nothing to be ashamed of being what God wants you to be and showing the world about what God wants you to be. You know, one time some people think, well, this is only during church service. Now, one time I was in the Philippines preaching and this church had invited me because they wear the coverings in church. And they were in a building, a second story building, had all the windows covered up, and all the women in there wore their head coverings. And this is what I talked about. I preached about that and I told them, I said, you know, all of you women, you're wearing your head coverings in here. The windows are all sealed up. You're in a two-story building up high, and you're wearing coverings because the Bible says to do it while prophesying and praying. As soon as church is out, you open the door, coverings get ripped off, put in your pocket, and you go right out into the world and just look and act like everybody else. That's not what it's talking about. For a man ought not to have his head covered, since he is the image and glory of God, but the woman is the glory of man. For man does not originate from woman, but woman from the man. God took the rib from Adam and made the woman. All the words, you know, even every description of woman is a woman. It's a part of the man. Every description of a woman is, it takes that description and it's got the man in it. But man comes from the woman. For indeed man was not created for the woman's sake, but woman for the man's sake. Just Bill talked about being created, what our purpose in life is. We were created for God's sake. And the woman is created for the man's sake. That's fundamental, being a part of the reason you are here in this world. Therefore, the woman ought to have a symbol of authority on her head because of the angels. You know, some people say, well, it's just a symbol. And in some, it is just a symbol. The heart is what determines, you know, whether it's there honestly or whether it's there out of tradition or whether it's there grudgingly. The heart controls that. You know, some people say, well, God sees my heart. He knows what kind of woman I am. I'm not going to wear that because it's just a symbol. I think, you know, that thought that I'm not going to do it, you know, just that whole attitude doesn't sound very nice. But if you think, remember in the Bible, the Egyptians, whenever the Jewish people were in the Passover, they were all instructed to go in their houses and prepare the Passover. And they were to take the blood and put the blood over the doorpost of their houses. And everyone that didn't, when the Passover came through, or whenever the firstborn died, anyone who didn't have that blood, the angel of death came through. And every home that he saw that symbol over, he passed over it. But everyone that didn't, the firstborn died. You know, you could think that, well, God knows my heart. We prepared the Passover. We did all this just right. But I'm not going to put that blood out there because it's just a symbol. It didn't matter. The angels can't see hearts. They can't read your hearts. But they do, they see that symbol. There's a safety and a protection. And that's what this is about. Whenever a woman is covered and in her proper place, there is a protection over her. Doesn't mean nothing bad will ever happen, but it'll happen with the Lord in His blessing and His control over your life. But there, like I said, the angels, they can't see. You can say you've got a clear heart, but all they see is a woman that doesn't have a covering in where she's supposed to be. However, in the Lord, neither is woman independent of man or man independent of the woman. We're all in this together. Just like Jesus and God are in it together. But we all have our place. For as the woman originates from the man, so also the man has his birth through the woman. And all things originate from God. Judge for yourself. Is it proper for a woman to pray or pray to God with her head uncovered? Then it says, do not even nature itself teach you that if a man has long hair, it's a dishonor to him. But if a woman has long hair, it's a glory to her. For her hair is given to her for a covering. Here it's talking that God has given the woman the distinction, and her hair is given for a natural covering, but she's to put a cloth covering or some other type of covering over her head in submission to her husband. But in the hair, you know, it's not just the hair, the whole thing, but that's part of it. Whenever, you know, we think, I've said this often in places where they don't practice this, I'll just ask them, how many beauty salons are there in your town? And they'll always just say there's hundreds of them. And I ask them why. And they say, well, to make the woman beautiful, make her beautiful. And, you know, I just thought of that. You know, here the woman wakes up with her husband and her hair's all just a mess. And she lives around the house all a mess, and then goes out to the beauty salon and just gets her hair all fixed up. For who? For all the world to see. It's her hair is given to her for a glory. And she uses it as a glory instead of keeping it proper for her husband. For her hair is given to her for a covering. Then it says, but if anyone is inclined to be contentious, we have no other practice, nor the churches of God. This is the verse that whenever I really understood and seen this verse, you know, one of the Bible says we have no other practice. And it leaves a little confusion, but if you read it and what it's trying to say here, it says, but if anyone is inclined to be contentious, or if anyone wants to argue about this, we have no other practice. There is no other practice, nor have the churches of God. This is something that has been practiced in God's church, the Lord's church, throughout all the ages. And it's just something that should be practiced and is practiced. This we have no other practice. That's just what the Paul put it just clearly. That doesn't mean anyone that doesn't do this is just, you know, I'll leave that to the Lord. But as the church, this is the church, that this is the practice that has always been there. And you go back through history and it's always there. In fact, until the mid-1800s, it was unheard of not to have it, not for the woman not to be covered in churches. It's just something that's happened within the last 150 or 150 years or so. It's a new thing. That, in fact, the Muslims attribute their women wearing it. You know, everybody thinks, well, they'll think I'm a Muslim. Well, their own writings, they learned this custom from the Christians in the 700s, in the 7th century, because that's where they picked it up. And that's their early writings tell us that. Some people think that, you know, this is just a custom for that time. But if you'll keep on reading here, the next few verses begins to talk about the Lord's Supper. That's a practice that's maintained and kept. Same verse, same chapter in the Bible. Same chapter in the Bible. It talks about the Lord's Supper as it does the covering. It's just part of the church. And by God's grace, we hope to maintain that with honesty and with life, not just become a dead ritual like it can so often. So anyway, may the Lord add His blessings and give us wisdom as we just honestly look at things and apply them. Anyone have anything you'd like to share? Right.
I just wonder how it got translated
completely
opposite of what that
was. Yeah, I mean, there's a verse Kevin brought out that in, where is it, Kevin? The verse is about the heart is deceitful, desperately wicked and deceitful above all things. But in the Septuagint, it's translated, the heart's depth is unable to be known. I mean, the doctrine of man's total depravity is built around that verse right there. But in the Septuagint, before that was even translated that way, it talks about it's hard to understand the heart because its depth is so deep. I mean, it's just, you know, there's other and such. You know, I mean, there's just one little word there. That's why you can't just, you know, it takes wisdom just to understand, look at some other things. But, like, I mean, that tripped me up. That, one of the things that after I read all of this explanation of why you should have it, and then get to the end of it, and Paul says, but never mind, it doesn't matter. That doesn't make sense. You know, we have no custom like that. Even though I told you, that's why we're doing it, and keep this tradition and keep things up, and then get to the end of the explanation, but disregard everything I said. If you're going to be contentious about it, we just won't even do it. I mean, that doesn't fit. And that's what troubled me. And then when I seen these other verses, it was just like, wow. It's obvious what he was trying to say, and it fit with everything. That's where the wisdom, looking, searching, reading, and applying, and...
But, you know, the context there, I mean, even with that way of translating it, the context is judge for yourself. Is it proper for a woman to pray
right.
God for head uncovered? Hey, we don't have such custom.
Right.
Going uncovered.
Right. Yeah.
Get there.
Yeah.
Way.
Exactly. I mean, it's just language has changed, and so it makes it a little confusing. But if you just look at the whole context of everything, and he's actually questioning give me an answer why we shouldn't be doing this, and then to say, you know, it doesn't matter anyway. We don't have the custom. We don't do it. You know, it just doesn't fit. So.
It was a real blessing because yesterday we just had our girls look that up.
Okay.
And write it all down, and just so they could wrap their heads around it a little bit more. So yeah. It's real great that you talked about it. So.
Praise the Lord.
The part where it says, does not even nature itself teach you, I think people get tripped up there because it says, for a hair is given there for something. I think looking at it naturally, you know, I think when God made Eve, she had long hair.
Right.
And just like you look at the animal world, you know, there's a definite distinction between male and female. And I think that's what he's comparing us to. It doesn't mean we don't dress, you know, wear clothes. And, you know, so it, I think whenever clothes came in, so did the people.
Yeah.
And another thought about rightly dividing the word of truth often involves deduction, you know, taking away what doesn't fit.
Right.
To find what is where it doesn't. And I remember learning that years ago, I think you taught me that, about we just do what is clear, and then the rest, the obscure, becomes clear in time.
Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord. Right. Well, Lord bless y'all. Meet back again at 6 o'clock. Depart in peace.